101.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk, all day. Well, good morning. It is Wednesday, the 16th of March, 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Good morning, everyone. I am trying to stay calm this morning because I have 185 things I want to talk about, but I have to stay focused. Unfortunately, I have some people in the room from the University of the Bahamas, and I know that one thing they know how to do is stay focused, and they're going to help me stay focused this morning. So let me just introduce the people in the room with me right now. Good morning, Mr. Daniel Thompson.
Good morning, Ms. Erin Green. Good morning, Bahamas.
Absolutely, and good morning, Ms. Arthenic Jones.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Bahamas.
Absolutely. So I'm introducing them, but I need you to know, like the disclaimer says, the opinions, the attitudes, and the jokes of the host have nothing to do with the guests. We are keeping them completely separate. I just want to introduce them and let y'all know who I have in studio. And so let's get the show going. I have a quick notice to the PLP. The PLP and the Mitchell call to action. I just want to say this. I just hear WhatsApps. Nobody send them to me. I just hear them. But I just say this. If you could mobilize party members to come to the House and protest the only PM that voted himself out of office, then you could mobilize party members to volunteer to do the things that the FNM and Rotary mobilized their members to do during their term. Or you could mobilize community patrols to ensure that children, minors, the elderly, and the vulnerable can move throughout their communities and the country without fear of violence or harassment. There's plenty of things you could get them to do, because I know that that's the type of party that y'all are. Y'all, when y'all are called to action, y'all stand up. When you are called to duty, you step up. And when you are called to aid the nation, you present yourself to aid the nation. So let's stop seeing ourselves as soldiers of parties and seeing ourselves as members of a country together. On another note, I'm going to set up a business on Cumberland and Blue Hill Road intersection. I can set up a business. Something can work right there. You know why? Because ain't nobody paying attention to it. I can figure it out. Somebody should come and join me. Let's set up a business on Cumberland and Blue Hill intersection, right by Government House. Let's sell something. There ain't nobody paying attention. I bet you we could put up a projector and we could sell movies. We could watch movies on Cumberland Street and ain't nobody gonna notice. Ain't nobody gonna do anything. Anything could happen on Cumberland Street. I don't understand it. There has to be CCTV coverage. You can't tell me that intersection right next to Government House doesn't have some sort of security plan, some sort of coverage or monitoring, some sort of police strategy to monitor that area. I just can't believe it. But I can test it out. I can set up a business. Y'all should pass by and see what it is I sell. And if you see the trunk up, that means business open, right? Because ain't nobody paying attention to Cumberland Street and the Blue Hill Road intersection right next to Government House. It's one thing I know, ain't nobody paying attention to any rules or controls. Nothing. But if we take care of the pennies, the dollars will take care of themselves. You know what I'm saying? You start small. Just start small. I was saying today's paper, there's a wonderful article. Agricultural officials stop in at local agricultural companies to see their drone programs in operation. And I'm very excited to see the incorporation of new technologies in the agricultural field. But please, has nobody decided that we could use a drone program to monitor and arrest, pun intended, agricultural theft? What are the drones for but for that? Why are we continuing to invest money in agricultural exploits if we refuse to invest money and resources into the systems necessary to protect those investments? But I can tell you what, it's very simple. We're going to get back to that pennies and pounds thing. In a merchant culture, you have to take specific and intentional steps to sustain, to perpetuate local agriculture. You got to work extra hard to maintain local agricultural efforts or an industry in a merchant culture. Now, yesterday I said that we were going to continue our conversation on all things GBV related recommendations from the Discriminatory Review Forum. But unfortunately, my guests yesterday are unable to make it. And another story popped up in the news that I think is going to require our interrogation. So before I move on to my segment with my guests, I just want to say we will return to a number of these stories. The AG indicating that the government is attempting to meet international commitments before going before the UNHRC in February 23, 2023. That's what I thought. I wonder to what extent has any human rights progression, any legislation pertaining to human rights issues in the country, to what extent have they ever been driven by local or internal discourse and agitation? And just another note, we're going to continue this conversation as well. It is something that I said before this article, but I'm sure that the Archbishop has said it before. Please check out all of these stories in today's Guardian. Archbishop Patrick Pinder speaks to the issue of marital rape and says, goes beyond suggesting, I think, but says that rape within the marriage disrupts the sacrament. And I think that's a good spot. That's a good place for us to ponder on before we continue the conversation. Dear texter, no. First of all, prostitution was always legal. It would be the solicitation that they are dealing with here. And no, that's not what I will be selling on Cumberland Street. Although, I mean, don't laugh. Anything could be happening on Cumberland Street. And that's the point. Anything. Producer, let's go to a break. To those interested in this conversation, you can find the story in today's Guardian. The University of the Bahamas has announced their selection for new president. And I have the president of UTEP and the president of the Student Government Association from the University of the Bahamas joining me to discuss the choice for president and other matters arising at UB. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We believe in relationship banking. We take pride in getting to know our clients. You have access to knowledgeable, approachable ambassadors and financial coaches so that we can recommend the best product for you. At Fidelity, we care about you. From your financial health to your physical health, we can relate to you because we're just like you. Come and start your relationship banking experience with us today. Visit us online at fidelitygroup.com. Visit any of our branches in Nassau or Grand Bahama, or phone 356-7764 in Nassau, or 352-6676 for Freeport.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday.
So what you think we should do? I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green and we are talking all matters University of the Bahamas this morning. The UB has announced a new president and I've invited Mr. Daniel Thompson, assistant professor at University of the Bahamas and president of UTEB, and Ms. Arthony Jones, president of UB Student Government Association, to share their thoughts on the selection, the process, and a number of things. Ms. Jones, if you don't mind, I'm going to start with Mr. Thompson. Mr. Thompson, can you introduce yourself and tell us all of the things that you do at UB and beyond.
Thank you very much, Erin. Good morning, Bahamas. I'm Daniel Thompson. I currently serve... I currently serve as the president of the Union of Tertiary Educators of the Bahamas, UTEB, which represents about 200 faculty from the University of the Bahamas and the Bahamas Technical and Vocational Institute. We represent instructors, librarians, counselors, etc., and other administrative officials. And that is one my main job, and that is the capacity in which I come here this morning. I also like to take this opportunity to just make some declarations that I do not speak on behalf of the University of the Bahamas, neither BTVI. I speak as president of UTEB. I also do not speak. I serve as the Assistant Secretary General of the National Congress of Trade Union of the Bahamas. I am not here in that capacity to speak on their behalf.
Okay.
Neither do I speak on behalf of my church, Grace Communion International, Pastor McKinney. I am not speaking on his behalf either. So considering all my other roles, I just want to very clearly state that I'm here as president of UTEB.
Right.
In regards, well, that's the introduction. Do you have any questions, or do you want me to continue?
Well, listen, when the questions start rolling, the questions will start rolling. Let me let Ms. Jones introduce herself as well, so that you can both sort of move into answering the questions.
Okay. My name is Arsenique Jones, and I am a senior at the University of the Bahamas, where I currently study biology with chemistry and engineering. And I am here in the capacity today as the president for the Student Government Association, where we are the advocates for over 5,000 plus students on campus.
5,000 plus. So you guys represent a large, in fact, between both of y'all, y'all represent the bulk of the tertiary education space.
Yes, critical stakeholders, but we must not forget the staff and workers of the university, as well as the managers. They are also a very critical stakeholder component.
And are they included in UTEB?
No, they're not included in UTEB. In fact, the staff are represented by the Bahamas Public Service Union, BPSU.
Ah.
And then the middle managers are represented by the Public Managers Union, PMU. So the UB is represented by three unions.
Right.
It's a multi-union complex. And then we have the Association of Students.
Now, quick question, Ms. Jones and Mr. Thompson. Mr. Thompson, do you think that Student Government Association has the capacity and the sort of mechanisms and the infrastructure, maybe even the legislative weight necessary to truly represent the students in the way that a union can? And should they, and same thing for you, Ms. Jones, should you guys have the capacity to represent students in the same way the various unions represent their members?
Well, I can't speak on behalf of the...
Well, your experience with unions.
But I know that we have a greater degree of independence in that the Student Government Association is an arm of the university administration. So they report to the dean or now the vice president of student activities. Whereas us, I don't report to no one in the university. So I have no reporting line within the university structure. I report to the members of my union.
I got you. See, that's why I asked him the question, because now I could say, well, look at that. I was correct. While the Student Government Association is a great thing, is required part, I think it's a required part of the structure, students in the university and generally may require a greater level of representation in these spaces that the SGA cannot provide, and that students shouldn't necessarily have to provide while engaged at, deeply engaged in their studies.
Well, I think it speaks to the importance of collaboration with our students so that where their voices cannot be heard, ours can. But despite the reporting requirement, I think the student government, they do have a freedom of speech.
Yeah.
So it doesn't negate that line of reporting. does not negate their freedom of expression. In fact, the freedom of expression is a very critical part in academia.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And I just, I'm glad to get a sense of that because we have the selection of a new president. It has taken a long, long time, not in politician years now, Ms. Jones, you young, you got to figure, you're sort of like PLP math. Politician years is different, but we waited almost a whole term, almost a whole FNM administration. and then when we expected the announcement, we were suddenly just waiting. And then we realized a new political administration, and we waited. So I wanted to know, to what extent does UTEB or the Student Government Association participate, or did you participate in the selection process for the new president?
Okay, so the Board of Trustees would have had a presidential search.
Talk right into the mic for me.
The Board of Trustees would have had a presidential search committee, and when they narrowed down the top three finalists, they did grant an opportunity for the students to meet with each of those and ask various questions. I also know that the student trustee and I think SGA president at the time, they had an opportunity to have a sit down one-on-one conversation with each of the finalists and express their requirements, I guess, for the president. So I guess we were involved, but not in the voting process of the new president.
Well, from its inception, if you go back historically, when in 2020, when the current CEO, Dr. Smith, applied for a job in Virginia at the University of the United States, that triggered off the research process. So, because, of course, if a CEO applies for a job elsewhere, then, you know, the university is really forced to begin to make preparation for replacement. And so the board was made up, and there was a call for union representation. So on that search committee, there were representatives from all three unions. So I actually served as the UTEB rep. We had a PMU rep, and there was also a rep from the PPSU, along with other stakeholder groups. So we were involved. I think there may have been, a student as well.
Yeah, there was a student rep.
I don't know if there was a student rep supposed to be there. I don't know if they ever came to any meetings.
No, they were there, part of the presidential search committee.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So there was a student involvement as well.
All right. So I've read today's papers, Mr. Thompson. You got people grab today's Guardian, some good reads in there. And you say here, did you think that UTEB thinks that to select a non-Bahamian as president was, quote, wrong and terrible, close quotes. Tell me why.
Yes, Aaron. Yeah, yesterday when the announcement was made, in fact, we had our suspicion, we suspected the same.
Yeah.
So over the weekend, a lot of things are happening, and we suspected this would have happened. But when it was made yesterday to confirm, I think I outlined that very clearly, that given our state and level of development as a nation, it does a lot of harm to the national pride, to a person who can grow up as a Bahamian through the system, and not that they are entitled, but if you qualify, you know, that you should have an opportunity to have first choice for leadership in your country. Now, I know people talk about what happens in the U.S., but the U.S. has hundreds of institutions. In the Bahamas, we have one university and one BTVI, a second national institute. We have two national institutions of education that are public, BTVI and the University of the Bahamas. And the leadership of those institutions ought to, if I'm qualified, and I want to hold to that word, qualified individuals ought to be given preference for leading those institutions. Now, the faculty itself may be made up of persons from throughout the world. That's important for the classroom. But when it comes to the actual leading of the institution, and do we have a lot of qualified Bahamians? Yes, we do. We have many Bahamians who are experienced and qualified and able.
Now, tell me, the article and you indicated how many people applied. Was it 79?
There were about 79 applicants that applied, yes.
Absolutely. And, I didn't get a call back on my application, I will be honest with you all. But my application was draconian.
Very few Bohemians did apply, and you know, but we narrowed it down, and at the end of the day, my belief is that perhaps other Bohemians could have been included, but they were not included. And we ended up with Ian as the singular Bohemian included in the...
Ian was a good choice, because for me, a prerequisite for a class is that you had to have taken the class before. You can't take the class until you've taken the class before. I want to step up the draconian application of education at UB.
And the thing about it, Erin, is that it's not just Ian per se, but it has to do with understanding the culture and the nuances of the Bohemian society, and in particular of UB. Dr. Rowland is going to take another 2 to 3 years just to get an appreciation. I always use this expression. He will take a while to learn the Bohemian vernacular. He will still perhaps be saying conch salad as opposed to Kong salad.
Okay, so watch this. And I think that's I just need you all to know, I think that's a great indicator, right? I'm making assessments of people's ability to acclimatize, right? To dip themselves in the culture is how quickly they switch from conch to conch. So I got two things here, because it took me a minute to put the non-Bahamian, non-Ian Strawn bucket to the side, right? It took me a second to put them down. So first things first. For me, I see that position, right? As somebody who will proudly say, look here, I done drop out a couple times, and I will drop out again if they let me come there, because most of all, the institution needs to be challenged, right? Not just that the institution challenges its students, but it needs to be challenged and enable itself to be challenged by its students. Not having a Bahamian can, if not handled properly, exacerbate the anti-intellectualism and the distance that's grown between the average Bahamian and the culture of appreciation for education, right? That we want to draw more Bahamians, and in particular, young Bahamian men, the absence of currently, into education. And having a Bahamian, having an Ian Strawn, could potentially inspire, evoke, encourage more young Bahamians to engage their tertiary institution at home. So I see that as a plus for, an Ian, right? A plus for a local person.
Yes, I think a lot of the local peculiarities of the country, and I think it was under Smith that there was a drive towards, for example, the male population. There's still a drive now, mm-hmm, because it's recognized as a problem. As a challenge, most of our classes are some 60% females, mm-hmm, some of them 80% females.
Mm-hmm.
And so this has to do not with the problems at the university, but it has to do with a societal challenge.
Right, it's a cultural attitudes and sense of identity for young men is not tied to education, to academics at the tertiary level. They don't see those things as valuable in terms of their identity as men. Economically, they could make money better ways. They don't want to be in the university with a bunch of women, teach by women, led by women, harassed by women. All kind of little cultural things that sort of lead us, mm-hmm, to that point. But do we need a Bahamian president to counteract that?
Well, let's put it this way. Do we need an American president to talk about accreditation? You can outsource those skills very easily and effectively. But the Bohemianization, the culture, you cannot outsource Bohemianization. The president has to have his own feel and touch and appreciation, whereas a Bohemian who has the cultural context can outsource the accreditation component and all those other internationalization issues, the issues with funding. The president will have his vice president who would have that link to help with those matters. But in any event, Erin, I would, in terms of how we shape this discussion, I may, I would like to, the president has already been
selected. Right.
And so while we can beat that horse 100 times or 1,000 times, one of the things we have decided at UTEP is to let's focus on what do we do next? How do we make this work? Because the University of the Bahamas is our university. Many of my members have been there 30, 40 years, have been working at this place. This is our institution.
Right.
BTVI is ours. So how do we move on?
Do it like I tell us we should approach imperialism and plantation model tourism. You can't beat the mega resort. You got to use the mega resort to your own advantage. So I would say, look here, I've been here 40 years, 50 years. This is my institution. Dear Dr. Rowland, how are you going to help us grow it? But let's put, I appreciate that point. Let's put that aside for a second. I know there's plenty of people who still want to know why not Ian Strawn, right? Mm, yeah. And so another thing that I thought about was I heard Dr. Ian Strawn on the Eye Opener, another show on the Guardian platform on Saturday, I think just this Saturday. And he was talking about the Northern Campus with some of the guests. And the energy and the passion that he engaged that conversation with, right? I thought to myself, did Dr. Strawn apply and participate because that's what you're supposed to do, right? When you are a Dr. Ian Strawn. But really, his heart is in the Northern Campus. And that same point you made about culture, right? And having leaders that understand the culture that they are working in, I could imagine a Ian Strawn saying, listen, I feel a commitment to growing and expanding the Northern Campus because I think that it requires a Bahamian like myself who will give a jurisdiction that is usually ignored the attention that it needs. And that the expansion of the Northern Campus is greater than just the Northern Campus. The expansion of tertiary education throughout the archipelago depends on the success of the growth of the Northern Campus. And so, you know, for people who are saying, well, how could not Ian? I could also see Dr. Strawn committing to that work as a fundamental part of not just growing the University of the Bahamas, but tertiary education across the Commonwealth.
I would perhaps put it this way, Erin, that
yeah.
The work that Dr. Strawn has done at UB North mm-hmm. is indicative of what he can potentially do throughout the country. So I applaud the work he's done, but perhaps, you know, when you do a good work in the spot, you get a higher calling.
Absolutely.
Come over here and give us a hand. I think when he becomes the president, if he stays in the race, he'll eventually become the president. He's able to now continue the same type of enthusiasm and development that he did in the North throughout the country. And so, you know, so I would encourage Dr. Strawn to just remain focused, remain resolute. It ain't over yet.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is Dr. Strawn. I don't know what they're talking about. I'm going to encourage you to write some more play. Make a couple more documentary. I need another plantation and tourism and culture in Anglophone Caribbean. I need another one of them. Mm-hmm. And so all these educators talking about educate and a little old advocate like me on the side here talking about they want you to be president and I just want you make book and write play and entertain us in a way that you have been able to edify and entertain us at the same time. And so, you know, for the audience, let's be easy with Dr. Strawn because he's being pulled in multiple directions. I'm sure the people of Grand Bahama don't want to let him go.
No, they don't. And the story of Dr. Ian Strawn is only just begun.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't want anybody think that this is the end of him. This is the beginning of what is to come. And I look forward and I hope that I'm still around to really see his continued evolution mm-hmm. and his continued advancement in leadership in the country.
Absolutely.
What I would say is from the conversations that we've had with Dr. Strawn, one thing I've noticed with him is he's very passionate. He's very passionate about what he does. And so even if he's not president, I'm very certain that he will succeed with UB North.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I got a call and I got some texts. And then when we get through those, I want to tell you all, I did some research. I sent some Chick Chinese out over the last couple of days. And I want to tell you all what I've heard, what I got back, my reconnaissance, and what I see in the next 5 to 10 years with the University of the Bahamas. Caller, you hear that music? We got to go to a break. Hold the line. When we get back, I'll take the call. Text us. We're going to get to you in a second. Stay tuned. I've got Daniel Thompson and Arthenique Jones on from University of the Bahamas Unions and Associations. We will be right back.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises the public, its customers, and the residents of Melbourne Road, Yellow Elder Gardens that the corporation will commence improvement work on March 16, 2022, for a duration of 6 weeks. During this period, there may be interruptions in the water supply, road closure, and detour around the work areas. Motorists are asked to avoid the area between the hours of 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused and appreciates your support as they work to improve their level of service.
One thing there is no debate about is that BTC has the best rates. Now, the best rates just got better because you pay half the price of the other guys with your BTC home internet and mobile services combined. Switching to BTC is a no-brainer because I pay less with BTC and get super fast internet with speeds up to 600 megs. The other guys, their internet only go up to 105 megs.
Get all the internet you want at half the price when you bundle your home internet and mobile. Visit a BTC store to make the switch today. Conditions apply.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green and my guest today, Mr. Daniel Thompson and Ms. Arthenique Jones. Ms. Jones, we left with your last words. I'm going to get back to you. Let's get to this caller and then to the text. Caller, you're on the clock.
Only day that is dark and white.
Blessings.
Here we need justice, law, and order in this country.
Absolutely.
But before I make my comment, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to give me the page of the president of the of UB Now.
Page? What do you mean?
Who are the person, where they came from?
Like the bio. All right. So, the selection was Dr. Eric Rowland.
And who is he?
He is a respected professional from the University of California and the California State University System in the United States.
Okay, that's good enough.
He currently serves as the head of the College of Business Administration at California Polytechnic and State University. Prior to that, Dr. Rowland served in leadership positions at the University of California.
Okay, my comment is this.
Uh-huh.
Those politicians that are in this country, they need to start preparing our people to run this country, including UB, and stop going in that place, the House of Assembly. Some of them only have a high school, certificate, or most of all, a bachelor, and think they could govern the whole Bahamas. Stop joking. We got people here who are willing and able to run this country, including UB, and they need to know that.
Thank you.
The Bahamian people need to act on situation as such.
Thank you, Bremen. Thank you, Bremen. But look here, Bremen, you almost caused me to get fired. I ain't got no degree. You can cause these people telling me I can't talk to the Bahamian people. And so I appreciate that the sentiment, Bremen, that we do have Bahamians that are qualified and that we need to focus on ensuring that Bahamians can lead and direct the most important institutions in their own country. But that doesn't mean that no foreigners need apply, right? For me, after doing a bit of my research, I spoke to a couple of people who made calls in Europe, called institutions that he would have worked with, And I've gotten nothing but good reviews back. Now, I'm an anti-imperialist, anti-capitalist advocate. So you could get a sense of what my position is. After reading today's paper and hearing what the chairman of the Board of Trustees has said, I get the impression that Dr. Rowland's appointment is less about telling Bahamians what they should think and endorsing what education should be, and more about connecting the brilliant Bahamians that are already here and are working here with institutions, with platforms, with entities, and with academic discourse, right? And scholastic opportunities to grow the institution itself and to grow the work of the members of the institution, both the lecturers, the faculty, and the students. So let me ask both of you, what do you envision over the next 5 to 10 years under the leadership of Dr. Rowland? Because I appreciate, and let's repeat what you have stated clearly, is that the decision has been made, the union has raised its objections, but are prepared and committed to work with the new president and to grow the University of the Bahamas.
Certainly so, and I want to reiterate that, Aaron, that we are academics, we are professionals, and we have a right, we believe that we have a right to voice our criticisms and our concerns.
Yeah.
But when it comes to doing the work, that is what we are here for. So my faculty, our faculty, our members are very much committed to the work of the University of the Bahamas. And so we'll support the president. Notwithstanding we may have posed objections, he has 100% support.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Ms. Jones.
I would say what we want to see from the university president specifically is that we want someone who will drive the university forward in mainly research, because research is a big thing, and technology.
Mm-hmm.
Because as the world changes, the university has to change as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that under the leadership of Dr. Rodney Smith, that the university shifted its culture and is now centering the student in the process of education, in the operation and application of education? Is the university becoming a more student-centered space? You don't have to answer that.
Well, I can answer from a faculty perspective.
Yeah.
During the last 8 to 10 years, there's been a continued transition to become more research-centered.
Mm-hmm.
We have traditionally been a very good teaching institution. Mm-hmm. And there has been a lot of emphasis to enhance our research efforts. And so, yes, that evolution is happening. It had started even before the Smith era, and it continues. And so Dr. Rowland coming in, we hope that that aspect will continue. But those are controlled by our academic affairs issues. The president may encourage the process, but the reality is, at the vice presidents and the deans and chair level, those initiatives are being implemented to become more research-oriented.
All right. So I got a text here. It says, so Aaron, you telling me we chose a foreign man at a dean's level instead of a Bahamian at a president's level who has repeatedly shown his competence and dedication to UB. This is a big, big slap in the face of all Bahamians. Now, I think that's a position that's worthy of interrogating. I've heard a number of people say this over the last couple of days, that are we setting a dangerous precedent by appointing someone who is a dean and has never operated as a president of an institution to run our primary tertiary institution?
Yes, and perhaps in all fairness and as an academic, I must be fair and objective that while he is only a dean, from my recollection, his student population is about the size of UB as a dean. You see? So,
okay.
So in all fairness, while he has never been a president, the deanship has a population and a budget that's probably far bigger than UB, mm-hmm. but he has never been a president. And that there is a big difference. But I think it'll be unfair to equate his deanship to a dean, as in our case, that may have 200 or 300 students in that faculty.
I got you. I understand. Another text said, Dr. Strawn was among the top three, but the problem in our country is that we don't respect or value our own. How can all the top executives today at UB be non-Bahamians, and that's okay with us? Is that true? Are all the top executives non-Bahamians?
Well, Dr. Rodney Smith is still the president.
Right.
So we're talking about Dr. Rowland coming in August.
Right.
So he has an executive vice president that the board, in their wisdom, chose and brought to this country that if you listen to the chair's commentary yesterday when I asked about that, asked a similar question, yeah. she say, look out, there may be some changes. So we expect that if Roland comes in, we'll need a Bahamian at the executive vice president level.
To create balance.
To create some balance. Yeah.
Absolutely. Does UTEB or SGA have an official position on the composition of management, of leadership at that level, and of the faculty and staff generally?
Go ahead. Okay.
I wouldn't say that we have a position.
Yeah.
You know, so that's just what I would say.
Okay, there
well,
you go.
Well, in terms of faculty,
yeah,
our membership consists of about 20% of non-Bahamians. Because when you advertise for faculty position, you have to go international. You look for the best in society.
Yeah.
So we accept the fact that our membership, our faculty, the ones involved, engaged in teaching our students and research, must be the best internationally. When it comes to the administration, we believe that, especially with the leadership, the presidency and the vice presidencies, they should be Bahamians. Because a part of what they do is really they're managers. Their managers, except for the academic affairs that runs the quality of education, but your physical plan person, your finance person, do you need a foreigner to be a vice president of finance?
No, they'll stress right out.
You know.
They will stress right out.
You know.
Okay, so I got some more texts here, and I got two calls on the line. And this text says, but is the education at UB just about Bahamianism, acclimating to the Bahamian vernacular, culture, etc., or global education and well-roundedness? So the fact that the new president is a U.S. citizen is really not relevant to me, but rather qualifications, experience in that arena, etc. Let me tell you all what we have a difficulty with here in the Bahamas at the developmental level, national level. We send people abroad. They're very good. They're excellent. They excel wherever they go. They embarrass people in their own country and in their own field. But we have a difficult time bringing that knowledge back home and applying it to a Bahamian context. And I think we draw to what Mr. Thompson is saying, is that you bring in expertise, you want the best, but you need someone that has a sound sense of culture, of place, of how things work here in the past, how they work right now in the spaces that you can't see, to be able to translate and apply what you have learned abroad to bring it back home.
Aaron, when I went in 1982, when I went to school in Trinidad and Tobago, I went to what was known as Tropical Agricultural in this Institute of the World. Mm-hmm. Persons throughout the world went to Trinidad for tropical agriculture, to learn about cocoa production, to learn about things that are tropical. We must not dismiss the indigenous flavor of education.
Mm-hmm.
It is very critical.
Absolutely.
When I went to the UK, when I went to England to do my master's, I worked on the egg production in the UK. Indigenous learning is a part of learning. In addition to the international flavor, you go to those countries to learn. When you come to the Bahamas, they come here to learn about tourism in the Bahamas, about our uniqueness, our unique fauna and flora. They come to learn about our uniqueness, about how we do business.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Jones?
So, although I do agree that we have a lot of talented educators in the Bahamas, but majority, a lot of them are foreign, and it's very hard for you to find people who actually want to come back home. Well, let me not say that. They don't want to come back home because they deem the educational system as dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
So while they may have the qualifications and all these stuff, you're not going to really find them really interested in coming back.
I got you. I got it. Now, Ms. Jones, Mr. Thompson, I got a bunch of questions here and a bunch of texts. I have a very serious question here because I'm always talking about managing conflicts of interest in small island developing states. Some people already see the matter of hiring a foreigner, like a conflict of sorts. And we're discussing, talking about how we manage this particular conflict. We're going to get back to that conversation. Let me ask you guys this just very quickly before I get to the last of the texts. What is UTEB's and the Student Governments Association's position on UB's vaccine policy? Man, y'all didn't even, that's okay. Y'all didn't even read that question on my notes. That's all right. Let's get back. I don't know if we have enough time to get into that other issue that I have, the conflict of interest issue here. So let's get to the text. The text says, I agree with UTEB. The statement by the chair was disingenuous. We have qualified Bahamians. It's apparent we like foreigners selling dreams. Dr. Strawn should have been chosen because of his qualifications and the fact that fits into organizational culture, and he would be most qualified to navigate issues within UB. This is our third foreign president, Harder, Vogel, Bose, and now Roland. Another text, but we are preparing these young minds to compete in the world, not just the Bahamas. Let's keep that in mind. I mean, that is very important as well, but you got to have a strong sense of national identity and what you going into the world to gather this information for. Right? For your education to be as relevant as possible and like as full, the experience as full as possible. Producer, let's get to this call before we go. Good morning, caller. Are you still there?
Hello.
Hi.
You there?
Yes.
Let me get my 30 seconds.
Yes, sir.
Wait for the last 3 minutes to do it. Good morning to your guest inside there. Hello, y'all can hear me?
Yes, good morning.
Okay, I don't know if it's relevant or if it matter or what. Are you guys some of the people who prefer Mr. Ian Strawn to be the president? And I don't forget, now, I for Bahamian being their first, then a foreigner, because I think we qualified white and black here, and we could do it. I don't know if y'all guys still prefer. Now, this guy, Ian Strawn, from the time I hear him, he used to be on the radio doing talk show too. He kind of should remind me Jeff Lloyd before and after he became a minister, and also the saying that the higher the monkey climb, he show you red. Now, after effing him to win, Ian Strawn might have been the president, but it's a new day government. You know, I'm not a fan of Ian Strawn. I think he's qualified and everything, but sometimes we too politically and people look at you a certain way because when a certain government in power, you don't have nothing good to say out your mouth. So he can continue to serve as ever he is, not ourselves. Keep up the good work.
Well, look here, that's a very interesting contribution, and I almost mad. I catch you at the end of the show. It's almost like I don't have time to respond to that. But I appreciate that you could say, listen, I'm not a fan, but I think he's qualified and should have been considered or should have gotten a job. I appreciate that. But you suggesting that it's politics, and I want to say to you, I hope you're not saying that Ian Strawn and Nicolette Bethels and Alicia Wallace's out the box campaign, spoil the ballot campaign, was a partisan issue and not a bipartisan issue. I'd never heard that raised, right? That it's a partisan political issue why Ian has not been selected. You don't have to comment on that. You don't have to comment on that at all. Producer, let's go to that last call dead quick.
Quick.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't hold the administration now because the opinion of the caller now. And I just want to say, I'm not surprised because every appointed physician or better to the university, there's always a some who would not agree. Also, when Mr. Rodney Smith, I think that's his name, the president now, when he was appointed, it was a big to-do too.
Well, we know why.
No, but I'm saying to you, he was a Bahamian.
Yeah.
And we have Bahamians, I believe, being appointed presidents of colleges away, too.
Yes.
Suppose they think about indigenous and all of that.
No foreigners
over there.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised because you would never please some person. So I expected the appointment where he's a foreigner or not. Rodney Smith is a bohemian. It was criticized, blah, 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 blah.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
I'm not surprised of the talk. Today.
Thank you. And by some people, she mean me. I ain't never satisfied. Producer, I hear you playing that music. Give me a second. You could play it, but give me a second. I just want to say this. I think that the Dr. Rowland was chosen for reasons clearly indicated by the new chair of the Board of Trustees. It is about networking. It is about global access. It is about a political vision, right? It's about a political vision of education in the country. And they are trying to connect to a global educational space that they feel that maybe Bahamians are not experienced or qualified or best suited or positioned to locate the university in. And I think that's something that requires more interrogation. I would also like to say, dear Dr. Rowland, welcome to the Bahamas. I see that you will be taking office August 1st. Well, it's going to be a trial by goat pepper, sir, because the Bahamian people ain't easy, but we welcome you and we await what you have in store for us. Mr. Thompson, I'm going to have you back to continue this conversation. We have lots to talk about, and I love interrogating education, plantation model systems, and how are we going to regrow the culture of appreciation for education that myself and many Bahamians were blessed and fortunate to grow up in. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Erin.
And Ms. Jones, thank you very, very much for joining me. I hope you had to duck class to get here. I hope you don't get in trouble, dear lecturer. Thank you, producer. Thank you to my audience. Thank you for the texts and the calls. Have a great day, Bahamas.